Welcome to the Barely Superman podcast, a conversational podcast where I talk to you about things that matter to me today. Today is almost Christmas time. It's that festive season. We are all feeling good. We are feeling great. We're feeling merry. We're feeling festive. We're feeling cheerful and hopeful and bashful. jingle bells all the way. But one thing that is not festive, but is kind of festive, is Nintendo. And today, I'm not going to be talking about Nintendo. Today is not a Nintendo day. That is a topic I will go into for a long time. But today, I want to talk about advertising and Mario, and specifically Mario Run. Now, for those who don't know, Mario Run is a game that came out on iOS, iPhones, and it's a game where you are Mario or a select Mario character, and you get to play around in that universe. Mario Run is effectively sort of an endless runner, but it's not because it has a time limit, but it's got that endless runner genre to it. Mario Run is split into two parts. There's the endless runner part, which is called Toad Rally, and Toad Rally is just it's just an event where you challenge people from all around the internet. And the aim of the game is to try to get as many coins as possible so that you can collect their toads. And toads are these adorable Mario creatures that have the most shrillest voice in video games. They are super cute, but they are like, yeah, Mario! So it's not like it's a complete contradiction to Peach's very nice sultry voice and Mario's let's a go, or Luigi's I'm a number one, Luigi number one. I mean, it's a different kind of world. It's a different universe. Obviously that wasn't the best Mario, but you know, still good enough. It's fine. Mario Run is this game that's released on iOS and does something attuned to 4 million downloads in 4 days. What the hell? That is a number to behold, and obviously it wasn't... what could you expect? It's Mario. Super Mario. Everyone knows and loves Super Mario. Our favorite Italian plumber. The game comes out, and people start playing it, people have downloaded it, and then they reach level 3, and then they want to progress further, and then they're told, this is going to cost you $10 or £7.99. £7.99, for those who are not in the UK. And there's a few of you. I see you. But when people see that price chart, they're like, ooh, $10 for a video game. $10 for a mobile game. I'm not paying that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do that. That's too expensive. So expensive. But I'm here to tell you, you have been brainwashed by the way the current app store is, to think that £7.99 is too much. And the reason for this is because of the current landscape. Apps on iOS are free, but you have to understand there is nothing in this world that is free. Free is just another way to make money. Let's take an example. Let's take Candy Crush. Candy Crush is one of the most downloaded games. Well, it is an original IP that doesn't exist to an IP. And by IP, I mean intellectual property. Candy Crush is this game that came out and everyone fell in love. The real reason why people fell in love with it was, one, it was a familiar formula. It was Bejeweled, but with a new skin. It was candy. It was really relatable. It was something that anyone can pick up and play. And two, it's actually a form of gambling, because you are effectively trying to get to the end of the level, but you're wagering something. With the lives that you have to get, that kind of gambling can cause a serious addiction, which is why people can become addicted to Candy Crush, because it's not a game of skill where the things are finite. It's a game of luck. It's it's a luck-based game. True, there is some skill associated with it, but the way the game is developed is similar to pachinko machines, and pachinko machines are these Japanese machines. You've probably seen them. What's the English word? Yes, slot machines. Sort of. It's a combination of like slot machines and so the best way I can describe this is the games in arcades where you put money in, and then it drops down and then pushes the first row of coins over so that it topples over, and then whatever you get at the end of it is what you win. But that the truth of that is you can never really scientifically do it, because one, it could have magnets at the bottom to keep the coins there, the coppers anyway, and then two, it could be rigged in such a way that the way that the machine pushes the coins is designed to ensure that the user, once there is a sufficient payload, that's when it pays out. And that's even how crane machines work. They work on the basis where they will drop the toy that you're trying to pick up from the crane until there is enough money in that machine, and it will allow one or two users to actually win, so that it seems like it's not rigged. But the nature of it is nothing is free. So when we look back at apps and app stores, we are designed to think that we are free or downloading free apps with no consequence. But the truth is, this freedom comes at a higher price than $10.99 or $16.99 or £60 or £100, because what they're selling instead of your freedom is your identity. And your identity is more valuable than any spare cash that you may have. And the reason for this is your identity and your habits, once monitored, which is what free apps do, they can actually get more money from you than you would normally otherwise do. Let's take an example. A free app that we have right now is Facebook, or Twitter, or Amazon. And believe it or not, that these apps are all interlinked. Facebook makes their profit from selling you as a person. Twitter does the same thing. And the people that buy this kind of stuff are people that sell stuff. Amazon, your shops, your games, your retailers, your M&Ss, all of them want this information because they know that they can personalize that data and they can sell it to you at a higher price. So, an example of this. You log into Facebook and let's say you post one thing today and you don't post for 2 years. Facebook knows that you've posted something, but you've not posted anything, but you forget that you are also liking stuff. You're creeping on other people's pages, your ex-girlfriend or your ex-boyfriend. You're looking at their pages, and Facebook is monitoring that. It's keeping that data, putting it in an algorithm, feeding you the things that thinks that you need to see. And then you suddenly visit the Adidas Facebook page. You're feeling like, I don't know, I saw some Yeezys, I want to pick those up. And then you're on the Adidas page, and Facebook knows this. Facebook knows you like Adidas because of the number of times you keep coming back. You are moving forward 2 years from now. You get married. Your profile changes, and now Facebook knows your sexual orientation. It knows what you like to look at, and it knows when you like to look at. And it could be just a simple habit as every time you've broken up with a girl, oh boy, I don't discriminate. The habits that you have are human. We are habitual creatures. We do the same thing over and over and over again. These habits then get picked up by this free application, and then they get sold to Adidas. So Adidas knows every time you break up with someone, you're going to be coming to them, because that's your soul food. That's how you fix yourself. This habit is then passed on to the next party. So Adidas knows that you like to look at their products when you're dumped. But they know that you are also really, really an avid Amazon shopper, mainly because Amazon is also passing this information and they pass them through cookies. So Amazon knows that you shop on Thursdays and Fridays. Amazon now knows that you've broken up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. And now the only thing left is to just schedule an advertisement when you are most vulnerable so that you purchase that thing. Now, I've seen this time and time again when you're on Instagram and you're scrolling and you see the exact thing that you wanted on Amazon. And it's just like, hey, we think you'd like this. And then most people are like, how do they know? How do they know? This is how. This is the price of free applications. Because we choose not to pay for the internet. And if you do the calculation, it would take everyone on the planet just to remove this kind of malicious. It would only take $12 from everyone on the internet. Just once a year, pay $12. And that is the cost of your identity. But you, because people wouldn't pay that because of the nature of the free application model, we give companies so much more money than that. And to me, that's far more terrifying than spending $8. Now, let's go back to Mario Run. Mario Run is a free-to-play application. The barrier of entry isn't you pay to go into it. It's free-to-play. So you're free to play it until you get to a point where you need to pay the entry fee for the rest of the games, right? But the problem with the way we've been built in society right now is we expect everything to be free. The problem with that is there comes a few drawbacks. I know a few people that, let's go back to Candy Crush, play Candy Crush. They don't pay for the advertisements to, like this was back when Candy Crush's original model allowed you to remove ads. By not removing ads, you're being tracked, and that being tracked also causes your battery life to go down, so your phone actually doesn't last as long, which means you're charging your phone more, which means you're more phone dependent. And these are costs that people don't really think about when it comes to free-to-play games. Now, Mario is one of the reason why I chose Mario Run is because Mario Run is the first example in a very long time where it's an ethical decision from a company to not sell people's information. Now, Nintendo is a company that is built on family values. It's a company that is for the family. And ethically, unlike Candy Crush, ethically selling children's data to companies is a big no-no. That's my personal standings for that. The other thing is, Nintendo has made the moral decision to ensure that they will only charge you if you think that the game is worth that money. Now, is that a smart business move? Absolutely not. Now, if I was in Nintendo's shoes, I would milk the absolute. I was trying to think of an appropriate word to use there instead of cursing today. But I would milk people so badly because I know what the intellectual property Mario is. I know how much Mario can make. I know that just as a standalone product, the Toad Run is such a good moneymaker because it's a way to just make sure that the people keep coming back because it's very, very addicting. And also, you just make sure that people don't always win. Just rig it a bit. Just have a random element happen so that it's not skill-based like it is now. Just rig it a little bit, which is what most games do now. And by doing that, you ensure that the people keep coming back because maybe that one day they're feeling lucky. So Nintendo has taken the moral high ground to not do any of that. They are choosing to make less money, but be in good faith of the people that they are serving. That should be commended. That is something that is, it's true. It's honest. It's very Nintendo. But people don't see that. People only see the $8.99. Or was it $7.99? Sorry, $7.99. They only see the $10. And because of that, and because no one is explaining this, no one is explaining that it's much better for you to pay a $7.99 than to have your identity be leaked to multiple companies. And I'm telling you, if Nintendo chose to sell your information to advertisers, you would spend 100 times more than you do with that $7.99, £8, $10. The reality of it is, when you're constantly being fed advertising and relevant advertising, because Nintendo can make that happen, you are left in a constant loop of thinking that you need materialistic things. Because as you feel the joy of taking someone's toad and being successful, you will associate that with the product that you are seeing in advertisement. That is what is called Pavlovian conditioning. Pavlov was a scientist. He believed that you could condition people and animals to do what you wanted them to do with certain triggers. You may have heard of Pavlov's dog. Pavlov's dog is a science experiment where Pavlov, the scientist, he designed such an experiment such as that he would bring some snacks to a dog, or food to a dog, but every time he would bring the food, he would ring a bell. And he would continuously do that so that the dog would have an association with the bell, meaning that food is coming. We have countless examples of this. In high school, we have a bell that signifies it's lunchtime. So whenever that bell goes, we know it's time to eat. It's Pavlovian. It's a conditioning thing. He would continuously do this, and then one day, he would just ring the bell, and the dog would expect to eat, because that's the condition that it's been brought up to associate. So every time he'd ring a bell, it wouldn't even have to be at the same time. It just, any time he'd ring a bell, the dog would start to salivate. And that is Pavlovian conditioning. And with this, it's the same thing. When we are happy, we secrete neurochemicals that, when associated with a particular action, we create a Pavlovian response. And the same can be done for advertising. It's the same as when you're watching a good movie and they have embedded advertising and you're like, okay, I like this scene and they're drinking Coke, so I must like Coke. It's one of those weird logics that we are innately built in, but it's one of the things that we do to survive. Because positive reinforcement, another psychological trait, allows us to continue to move on and ensure that the things that we do that are correct, or maybe not so correct, but are rewarded by positive influence, are repeated, because that is the way we have survived as a human race. Now, the issue with that kind of advertising is there are people called whales, and whales are people that are under certain circumstances would pay an obscene amount of money because of the association that they've created with the Pavlovian response. These are people that would spend thousands of dollars on World of Warcraft, or people like me who've spent pounds on Pokemon Go, or certain applications, because they evoke a response that is positive. It's positive reinforcement. You do something, you're rewarded with something else. And in this case, it's a monetary gain. My issue with this advertising is it's misleading. It's misleading people to think that free is free. And the real reason for me to even record this is I want you to just really think about the next time you download a free app, what it actually really means for it to be free. Are the advertising intrusive? You might not be, it might have been subconscious before, but now that you're actively looking out for it, has it changed your perspective? Has it changed the way you think of the world? Or are you okay selling yourself, selling your identity, selling who you are for the sake of a few pounds, a few dollars? This has been Barely Superman, signing out. Have a very, very happy holiday, whether it be Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or Christmas. I'll see you in the next year.